Today's daf is Psachim daf Mem Aleph, and we are 10 lines from the top of daf Mem Aleph Omer Aleph in Mevashlin v'chulu. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leah, Manuela bas Chana, and Devorah bas Mecha. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos for Yecheskel Shraga ben Miral, and today's daf is being learned Le'ilu Nishmas, Kayla bas Mordechai, and Avram ben Yibadal L'chaim Toivim, So the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Mem Amid Beis mentioned a halacha related to the Karban Pesach. So even though the topic of Perek Kol Shah has been chametz, matzah, a little bit of maror, but there's one halacha tucked away that relates to the Karban Pesach. And that halacha is going to be the topic of today's daf. The Mishnah said, Ein mevashlin es ha-pesach. You're not allowed to cook the Karban Pesach. Loi b'mashkin, not with a liquid, v'loi b'mei peiros, or even with juice that comes out of fruit. Avo, however, sochin, if you want to smear the Karban Pesach with these juices, that's okay. U'matpilin o'isabahen. Additionally, if you want to dip the meat of the Karban Pesach into them, that too is going to be okay. So what's the background to this halacha? Ein mevashlin es ha-pesach. What's wrong with cooking the Karban Pesach? The Torah in Parshas Bo, when it talks about the Karban Pesach, says, Va'achlu es ha-basar ba-layla hazeh. You should bring the Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach. However, you should eat the meat of the Karban Pesach ba-layla hazeh, at the Leil HaSeder. How should you eat the Karban Pesach? Tzli esh, it should be roasted. U'matzois al-merayrim yoichlu, and you should eat it together with matzah and marah. We know what that means. The pasuk continues and says, al-toichlu mimenu na. You have to be careful not to eat the Karban Pesach if it's na, if it's half-cooked. U'basham b'bushel b'mayim. Additionally, al-toichlu, don't eat the Karban Pesach if it's completely cooked. Ki im tzliyesh, the only way you're allowed to eat the Karban Pesach is roasted. Roishoy al-krov ve'al-tirboy. Either way, the Torah says twice that the Karban Pesach had to be eaten roasted. V'achlu es ha-basar b'layl hazeh, how? Tzli esh. And then the Torah says, al toichlu mimenu no, vashul mevushul b'mayim, ki im tzli esh. The only way you're allowed to eat the Karban Pesach is roasted. So the Karban Pesach was first slaughtered. They did the zrika, meaning all the avodas that was ordinarily done with a carbon was done with the Karban Pesach, because the Karban Pesach, at the end of the day, was a carbon. As it relates to the meat, so that was eaten by the bialim of the Karban Pesach. How was it eaten? It had to be roasted. Additionally, the Torah says that it couldn't have been cooked. It couldn't even be half-cooked. Al toichlu mimenu na uvasha mevushel b'mayim. This pasuk is the makar that you're not allowed to cook the Karban Pesach. Now, the truth is, if you want to really be accurate, it doesn't say anywhere that you're not allowed to cook the Karban Pesach. What it says is, al toichnu mimenu na uvashul mevushul b'mayim. So the iser is not really cooking the Karban Pesach or half cooking the Karban Pesach. The iser is eating the basar of the Karban Pesach when it's cooked, eating the basar of the Karban Pesach when it's half cooked. Now, inevitably, if I can't eat the Karban Pesach when it's cooked, then I can't cook it, because if I won't be able to eat it, it's going to end up being noiser and I'm taking kachim and I'm making a pasul. So of course, practically speaking, the halach of the Mishnah is true. Ein mevashlin es ha-pesach. You can't cook the Karban Pesach. But the iser that the Torah mentions is not really the iser of cooking it, but rather the iser that the Torah mentions is the iser of eating the Karban Pesach while it's cooked. On that note, an entire daf that deals with the halach is that the Karban Pesach had to be roasted, that the Karban Pesach was not allowed to be eaten had it been cooked, or even not. What does not mean? Half cooked. Zok the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. We learned in a brayso, the pasuk says, al toichlu mimenu na uvashel mevushel b'mayim. So the Torah sounds like the only time you're not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach cooked is if it was cooked in water. The Torah went out of its way to say, uvashel mevushel b'mayim. Say, eli ela b'mayim. I would know only, based on the simple reading of the pasuk, that this would be a problem if I cooked the Karban Pesach in water. Sha'am mashke minayim. How do I know that if I cook the Karban Pesach in some other mashke, it's going to be an issue? I'm with Kal v'chomer. I know, based on a Kal v'chomer, says the Braisa. If you cook meat in water, the water is not going to take away from the taste of the meat. The water doesn't taste like anything. So it's not going to be mafig in any way. It's not going to dilute the taste of the meat. Still, it's also shar mashkin. So certainly other forms of liquid, shemefigin tamam, that will on some level dilute the taste of the meat, like holshkin. Certainly it should be a problem. So the Tanakhama says, how do I know that you're not allowed to cook the Korban Pesach in Shar Mashkim, or more accurately, how do I know you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach when it was cooked in Shar Mashkim, even though it says in the Torah Mayim, I know Shar Mashkim based on the Kal V'chomer Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, no, I know from the Pasuk itself, because it says, B'mayim, Me'ein li'elo mayim Shar Mashkim minayim, Talmud loymar, Uvashel mevushel mikamak. Torah didn't just say, you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach if it was cooked in water, it says a double lashon, Uvashel mevushel b'mayim. And from the double lashon, we learned that it doesn't matter if it was cooked in water, it doesn't matter if it was cooked in something else. So we have two sources, how you know that mayim is lav dafka. Either Kal v'chomer, or the word uvashal mevushal. My benayu, what's the nafkamina between the two pshatim? Sapti gemar, ike benayu tzlikado. What would be if somebody would roast the Korban Pesach inside a kedera, or you would cook it, in other words, inside a kedera, but you wouldn't have any water at all? So you're not using any water. According to the Manda Amar, that says Kal v'chomer, if you're not allowed to use Mayim, certainly you can't use Shar Mashkin. Over here, there were no other Mashkin. And even if you'll tell me the juices that come out of the meat are a Shar Mashkin, but it's not being mafik the tam, it's not diluting the taste. So based on that, you would think it's mutter. You didn't cook it in water. You didn't even cook it in Shar Mashkin. So you don't have a Kal v'chomer mimayim. So based on that, you would think it's mutter. If, however, Ubashal Mavushal Mikamakoim is a Boy, that teaches me that it doesn't matter how you cook it, it's always going to be a problem. So even if you cook it without water, presumably that would be an issue. So according to Rabbi, Ubashal Mevushal teaches me that when it says in the Torah, Al toichlu mimenu no ubashal mevushal b'mayim, the word mayim is lav dafka. Even if it wasn't mayim, even if you cooked it in some other liquid, the halacha is going to be the same. How did the Rabbana know this halacha? Rabbana learned it from a Kal v'chomer. In other words, they don't use Ubashal Mevushal to teach me that. So the question then is, what do the Rabbana use the double lashon for? Why did the Torah say Ubashal Mevushal? It could have simply said Bashal or Mevushal. Why the double lashon? Teach me another halacha. What would be if somebody cooked the Korban Pesach and then afterwards he roasted it? Or the reverse. First he roasted it and then afterwards he cooked it. And he ate it, chayiv, he's going to be chayiv. By the way, what does chayiv mean? Right? Chayiv doesn't just mean it's aser. Chayiv means there's going to be some punishment. The punishment is malchus. Why? Because it's a loy saseh, it's a lav sheyesh by maisa, it's a lav that's not nitin glaseh, it's not nitin la hazoras misas bezdin, meaning it checks off all the boxes, all the criteria that you need in order to be chayiv malchus, so you're going to be chayiv malchus. But the chiddush of the braisa is that it doesn't matter. Even if you cook it and you roast it, still you're going to be chayiv. And whether first you cooked it, then you roasted it, or first you roasted it, and then you cooked it, regardless, it's a problem. If you cooked it first and then afterwards you roasted, chayiv, I understand. Once you cooked it, at that point you're going to be chayiv. So even though you roasted it afterwards, it doesn't change anything. But if you roast it first and then you cook it, once you roasted it, so you did what you had to do. So why should cooking it after roasting it be a problem? This is the question the Gemara asks on the Braisa. I'm Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, I'm Ani Rav Yosi. I think the Tana, this Braisa that says that if you roast the Korban Pesach and then you cook it, it's going to be a problem, is going according to Rav Yosi. And you're going to the Braisa. Yoitzim Biroka Kasharui. So this Braisa was discussing the mitzvah of matzah and says that you could be yoitzim matzah with a matzah that was soaked in water. Or, umimavushal shalaini mayach. Or if you took a matzah, you cooked it, but it didn't disintegrate. Divrei Rameir. Rameir says, in any one of those cases, you could be yoitza. Rabbi Yossi said, yoitza b'rakka kashari. You could be yoitza with a matzah that was soaked. Avoloi b'mavushal. You can't be yoitza with one that was cooked. Afal pishaloini mayach. Even if it did not disintegrate. So what do you see from Rabbi Yossi? That if you take a matzah which was baked, and then you cook it, you can't be yoitza the mitzvah matzah anymore. Because cooking after baking messes up the baking. If that's the case, cooking after roasting should also mess up the roasting. So if I would be tzoloi first, the achakach bishloi, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's understood why you would be chayef. Again, why would you be chayef? Because even though you roasted it first, but once you cooked it afterwards, the cooking makes an impression on it. Just like cooking matzah makes it not matzah, so cooking a Pesach that was tzliyesh makes it not tzliyesh, but rather mavushal. That's the case. You eat it, you're going to be chayav malchus. So that's the first pshat in this price. So Ula said a different pshat. He said, afilu tamer ameir. Maybe this price is going according to Rab Meir, who says that cooking
matzah doesn't necessarily make the matzah mevushel, and it could be you would be able to be yoitz shani hachel, but over here it's different. A makra ubashel mevushel mikol makom. In the pasuk that says you're not allowed to eat the carbon pesach when it's cooked, again it says a double lashon uvashel mevushel b'mayim. What is the double lashon teaching me? That it doesn't matter if you cooked it straight or first you roasted it and then you cooked it. Either way, that lach is, it's going to be a problem. So again, why are we talking about this? Because the Gemara asked the question. Rebbe used the pasuk uvashel mevushel b'mayim to teach me that mayim is lav dafka. It doesn't matter how you cook the carbon pesach. Either way, you're not allowed to eat it, and if you eat it, you're going to be chayav malchus. The Rabbana learned that same halacha from a Kal Vachomer, so they didn't need the pasuk uvashel mevushel b'mayim to teach me that. So what then do they use uvashel mevushel b'mayim? The Teretz is to teach me the halacha of this brisa. The way Ula explained it, afilu adliba de Rab Meir. What's the halacha? If somebody would first roast the carbon pesach, then you would cook it, would you be chayav or would you not be chayav? You would have thought maybe you wouldn't be chayev. Kamash mamon uvashal mevushal mikol makayim, to teach me that you're going to be chayev. Tanu rabbanan, another aloch. Yachol tzali kol tzarchi chayev. I would think that if somebody burns the carbon pesach, he should be chayev. So he roasted it. He didn't cook it. It wasn't half cooked, but rather it was roasted. However, it was roasted kol tzarchi, which in this case means, as the Gemara is going to explain in a second, more than you were supposed to do. You actually burned it. So maybe you would be chayev. Why? Because it's not really roasted. So based on that, maybe it's a problem. Talmud loymar, al toichlo mimenu, no, uvashel mevushel b'mayim, no, half-cooked uvashel mevushel b'mayim. That's a problem. That's a lois, I say. V'lois yitzolik, so-called tzarkai. If, however, you roast it and you over-roast it, even though it's not the perfect tzliyesh, but that's not enough to make it chayv. Hey, chidami, what's an example of called tzarkai? The way we just explained it. Amir avashi, deshav yicharucha. You burned it. Panu rabbana. Another alach. Yoch alach, kezayis chayyichayiv. I would think if somebody eats a kezayis of the carbon pesach raw, you should be chayev. Talmud loymar, al toichlo mimenu na, uvashel mevushel. Na, uvashel amarti lecha. V'loy chayev. Again, why would you think if you eat it raw, you should be chayev? Because it's not tzliyesh. Torah keeps on saying tzliyesh. But at the same time, as it relates to the lav, it says al toichlo mimenu na. It says al toichlo mimenu bashel mevushel b'mayim. If it's raw, it's not na. No, it's half cooked. It's also not completely cooked, because it's raw. So as a result, halach is going to be pati. Yoch, yeh, mutter. I would think that it's mutter. No problem. If you want to eat the carbon pesach raw, you can. Talmud loymar ki im tzliyesh. That no, at the same time, it has to be roasted. Hei chidami na. Sok the Gemara. So we're talking so much about na. It's a pasuk in the Torah. What exactly is this? Amar Rav. Rav said, kada amri parsoi. He said, you want to know what na is? Take a look at the way the Persians roast their meat. Abarnayim. They eat it where it's half cooked. Either way, what the Persians refer to as abarnayim, which seems to be something that people we're able to associate with, that's what the Torah means when it says no. Amar Rav Chisda, another halacha regarding cooking the Karban Pesach. This next Gemara is a classic, and it's something that we have related raid bites on, it's something that we've spoken about in the past. Hamevashel b'chamit feria, if somebody cooks with the chamit feria. So we're all familiar with the chamit feria. They're very, very hot. They have the ability to cook. So what would be if on Shabbos, somebody cooks with the chamit feria? So the halacha is potter. You're going to be potter. Pesach shebishla b'chamit feria. What if somebody cooked the carbon pesach in the chamit feria? Chayev. If he then eats the carbon pesach, he's going to be chayev. Freak the Gemara. Maishlam Shabbos Deloy, the told us Eishbina. How come if somebody would cook with the chamit feria on Shabbos, halachas, he would be potter? Because chamit feria is not the regular way of cooking. The way, regular way of cooking is using fire as the source of heat. The chamit feria is an unconventional source of heat. It's for that reason you're going to be potter. Pesach nami lav told us Eishu. So if that's the case, he should be potter by carbon pesach as well. If for Shabbos hamavashu b'chamit feria is potter, then l'chura for Pesach, the halacha should be the same thing. Amar Rava, Rava said, you're right. My chayev diktoni, when Rav Chisda said hamavashu Pesach b'chamit feria chayev, what he meant was not your chayev for eating the carbon Pesach cooked. Because if you cooked it, but the chamit feria, it's not told oisesh, it's not really considered cooking. What then are you chayev for? The ka'avar mishum tzliyesh. The reason you're going to be chayev is because you violated the iser of eating the carbon pesach, not tzliyesh. Because at the end of the day, even though it wasn't cooked, but at the same time, it wasn't tzliyesh. Rav Chiya Breder Rav Nasa Master Lalahad Rav Chizda Behedya. He said over Rav Chizda's halacha mefurish like this. Meaning, not Rav Chizda said something, we're not sure what he meant, that we have to explain it. But rather, Amr Rav Chizda, Hamavashu b'chamit feria b'shabbos potter. If somebody cooks the chamit feria on Shabbos, he's going to be potter. U'pesach shebishle b'chamit feria chayef. And if somebody cooks the carbon pesach and chamit feria, is going to be chayef. And what are you chayef for? Sha'avar mishum tzliyesh. You're not chayav for eating the Korban Pesach cooked. You're not chayav for eating the Korban Pesach half-cooked, but rather you're chayav for eating the Korban Pesach in a state of tzliyesh. So what exactly does that mean? So the Gemara is going to segue now, and the Gemara is going to explain it. But before we go weiter, no rain on this part of the daf, but before we go weiter, we just have to mention two ha'aras that we've spoken about already in Masechtas Pesachim. Number one, you see from the Gemara, Rav Chisda said, if someone cooks b'chamei tveri, you're potter. It's not considered chil Shabbos. If somebody would eat the Korban Pesach after it was cooked b'chamei tveri, then already you would be chayv. And the Gemara couldn't understand what the difference is. What's the difference if I cook b'chamei tveri on Shabbos? What's the difference if I cook the Korban Pesach b'chamei tveri? What do you mean? I can tell you a very obvious chilek. On Shabbos, there's a rule that says meleches machshavas asra Torah. The only time something's considered a malacha is if you do it the way the artisans do it. If you do it in the shensta and besta way. If you do it in a professional way. So if that's the case, you can argue a mevashel b'chamei tveria is not meleches machshavas. But if someone cooks the Korban Pesach b'chamei tveria, maybe that's considered cooking. Maybe in hilchas Shabbos, where there's a halacha of meleches machshavas asra Torah, so mevashel b'chamei tveria is not considered malachas machshavas. But as it relates to cooking the Korban Pesach, who cares that it's not the ordinary way of doing it? But at the end of the day, maybe it's considered cooked, and that in and of itself would be enough. Of course, what comes to mind is the shtickle from Rabbi Chanan that we spoke at on Daf Chafei earlier in Perek Kol Shah, not for Tanav. The other question is what's the Veltz Kasha? And that is, if someone cooks the Korban Pesach b'chamei tveria, you're chayiv if you eat it, you're potter if you eat it, makshin o'ilam. What's the case? The Korban Pesach was a carbon. If it was a carbon, it was brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Its meat, being that it was kachim kalim, was allowed to be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. Where were the Chami Tveria? The Chami Tveria were in Tveria. So how exactly were you going to cook the Korban Pesach with the Chami Tveria? Now there's two ways it can happen. Either you can bring the Korban Pesach to Tveria, or you could bring the Chami Tveria to Yerushalayim. If you bring the Pesach to Tveria, the Pesach becomes possible. It's Nifsal B'yotzeh. So if it's Nifsal B'yotzeh, this is not Negeya anyways. Elamai, you brought the Chami Tveria to Yerushalayim. If you're going to bring the Chami Tveria to Yerushalayim, it's going to be a Klisheni. And we know that a Klisheni is any Mevashel. So anyways, it's not a Mevashel B'chami Tveria. So Maksim Ha'olam, this is a Veltz Kasha. What's the case of Mevashel B'chami Tveria? Mevashel B'Shabbos, and you understand. But Mevashel Korban Pesach B'chami Tveria, if you brought the Pesach to the Chami Tveria, it's anyways possible because it was Nifsal B'yotzeh. If you brought the Chami Tveria to Yerushalayim, so then it's a klisheni, obviously. If it's a klisheni, klisheni is anyways not mevashel. So on Daf Ches, we spoke at a beautiful teretz that my good friend Levi Chomsky showed me. Me echad mi bnei hachabura from the pre-Yitzchak, Rabitzel of Paterberger, ayin sham, amar Rava. That's where we have related raid bites, so we can go weiter. Amar Rava. Rava said, achle no. If somebody eats the Korban Pesach, no, half-cooked, leukestein, he gets two malchus. Mevushel, if somebody eats the Korban Pesach cooked, like a shtayim, he gets two malchus. No, umevushel, if somebody would eat two kezeisim of the Korban Pesach, one kezeis would be na, half cooked, the other kezeis would be mevushel, completely cooked, like a sholish. In that case, you would get malchus times three. So what's going on over here? Again, it says in the Torah, this is the passage we began with, al toichlu mimenu na, uvasha mevushel b'mayim, ki imtsli eish roishai al kra val kirboi. So how many lavin are there in this passage? So off the bat, there's two. Al toichlu mimenu na. You're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach if it's half cooked. Ubashal mevushel b'mayim. That goes back to al toichlu as well. You're not allowed to eat it completely cooked. Those are two laven. Rava says there's a third laven in the pasuk. Ki imtsli esh roishay al krav al kirboy is a third laven. Meaning al toichlu is going on al toichlu mimenu na. Al toichlu is going on the next thing. Al toichlu mimenu uvashal mevushel b'mayim. And it's even going on the following thing. Al toichlu ki imtsli esh roishay al krav al kirboy. So al toichlu, which is the heading, which means loisaseh, which means malchus, is really talking to three things in this pasuk. You're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach na. You're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach cooked. And you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach in any way other than roasted. Based on that, says Rava, let's do a little bit of math. If somebody would eat the Korban Pesach, no, you'd get Malkus twice. You violated Al Toichlu Mimenu, no. Additionally, you violated al toichlu mimenu ki'im tzliyesh, because you ate it not roasted. If somebody would eat the Karban Pesach when it's completely cooked, again, two malchias, al toichlu mimenu ubashal mevushal b'mayim, and al toichlu mimenu ki'im tzliyesh. If somebody would eat a kezayis not and a kezayis mevushal, so now you're going to get malchus times three. Abaya argued with Rava. Abaya said, ein loikin alav shebeklolis. No, you don't get malchus for ki'im tzliyesh roishe al krov al kirboy. And the reason is because it's a lav shebeklolis. What makes it a lav shebeklolis? Rashi, the fourth line, the koilo by kol mine bishulim she'enon tzliya lesser, because ki'im tzliyesh means a lot of things. If the Torah says the only way you're allowed to eat it roasted, so that implies that anything that's not roasted is going to be a problem, which can be a lot of things. So being that the pasuk means a lot of things, it's a loisase, you're going to get a lot. But in terms of malchus, Abaya has a rule, ein loikin alav shabaklos. Now what does it mean, ein loikin alav shabaklos? Some say, what it means is you can't get malchus twice for a lav shabaklos. However, once, you could get malchus for a lav shabaklos. Some say, you don't get malchus at all for a lav shabaklos. And the reason is, because what's the paradigm of a lav for which you get malchus? It says in the Torah, the parsha of malchus, and then immediately afterwards, it's juxtaposed with a very obscure loisase in the Torah. It says, loisachsim shar b'dishay. You're not allowed to put a muzzle on your animal's mouth, meaning you have to allow your animal to graze in the field. And we learn from there that the only time you get malchus is if the lav is similar to loisachsim shar b'dishay. That's how we know you don't get malchus on a lav shein b'maisa. That's how we know you don't get malchus on a lav shein t'klase, on a lav shenitin lazores pisas bezin. Says the Gemara, that's also how you know you don't get malchus on a lav shebeklolis, because loisachsim shar b'dishay doesn't mean seven things. It means one thing. So it's not a lav shebeklolis. So you see from there, the only time you get malchus is a lav shebeklolis. So what are we talking about lav shebeklolis? Because in the halachas of cooking the Karban Pesach, there's a lav shebeklolis. It says, al toichlu mimenu na. That's straightforward. That's not lav shebeklolis. That's lav shebeprotis. Uboshel mevushel b'mayim is also straightforward. Ki im tzliyesh. If al toichlu is going on ki im tzliyesh, so the Torah is saying, don't eat the Karban Pesach in any way other than roasted, means I can't eat it half cooked, I can't eat it full cooked, I can't eat it raw like the Gemara said, I can't do any of these things. So that lav is now a lav shebeklolis. You get malchus on a lav shebeklolis, that's a machloikis between Abaye and Rava, that's our shaila. So we mentioned the machloikis of Abaye and Rava regarding getting malchus on lav shebeklolis, so the Gemara is going to digress only for a moment for another example where this machloikis in Abaye and Rava is manifest, and that is with regards to the halachas of a nazir. So we know one of the isurim of a nazir is he's not allowed to drink wine. But not only is he not allowed to drink wine, he's not allowed to eat grapes, and he's not allowed to eat any product of a grape. The pasuk says, Kol yemei nizroi, all the days of the nazir's nazirus, mikol sheyeyase migefen ayayin, mecharzanim va'adzog lo yechol. He's not allowed to eat anything that comes from gefen ayayin, anything that comes from a grape. Whether it's the charzanim, Rashi says that's the pit, or it's the zog, Rashi says that's the peel, lo yeyachel, you're not allowed to eat it. So essentially, what the Torah over here is saying is that number one, you're not allowed to eat the chartzanim. Number two, you're not allowed to eat the zog. Number three, you're not allowed to eat koil asheh yeyosem migefen ayayin. This pasuk has a lav shebeklolis. Koil asheh yeyosem migefen ayayin is very inclusive. Zog to Gemara, Rav Amar Rav says, ochal zog, if a nazir would eat the zog, he would eat the peel of a grape, like a shtayim, you get malchus twice. Once for the lav of the adzog lo yeyachel, and number two, because it's included in kol asheh yeyosem migefen ayayin. Chartzon, if a nazir would eat chartzon, he would eat the pit, like a shnayim, again you get malchus twice. Zog v'chars, if the peel and the pit, like a shalosh, you get malchus twice. Abaye, Abaye says, no, ain't like an alav shabaklos. You don't get malchus for violating the lav of koila sheyeyosim yegefen ayayin. Ikadami, some say, what does that mean? Tarti ud loyloki, chadami yosloki. You would get malchus at least once for being over, you're just not going to get malchus twice. Others said, you don't get malchus at all. And the reason is, because it's not similar to the lav of leisachsim shar b'dishay. And if it's not similar to the lav of leisachsim shar b'dishay, you're not going to get malchus at all. Tanu rabbanan, more halacha is related to eating the Karban Pesach, cooked or half cooked. If somebody eats a kezayis of the Karban Pesach, half cooked, but he ate it mibayod yoyim. He ate it on the 14th day of Nisan. He didn't eat it at the Leil HaSeder. He ate it Erev Pesach. So what's significant about that? That's not the zman to eat the Korban Pesach. The zman to eat the Korban Pesach is v'achlu asa basar b'layla hazeh. You didn't eat it b'layla hazeh. When you ate it was Erev Pesach. So do you get Malkus or do you not get Malkus? On the one hand, you ate the Korban Pesach half-cooked. Torah says it's a problem. But I didn't eat it in the zman of the Korban Pesach. Says the Braisa, Potter, no Malkus. Kezayis no meshech hashech. If you would eat it once it's dark, chayef. Achla kezayis slim ebon yoim. What would be if you ate a kezayis of the Korban Pesach roasted? That's the way you're supposed to eat it. But meboyed yoim erev Pesach loy posel asmi b'bnei chabura. It wouldn't mess you up from being able to join another chabura. And this is based on Halach and Hilchas Korban Pesach that says that once you're part of a chabura, chabura was very important. It was an integral part of Korban Pesach. You had to join the chabura to eat from the Korban Pesach. You couldn't freelance. You couldn't do your own thing. So if once you are part of a chabura, you can't join another chabura. What defines you as being part of chabura? You ate a kezayis. So what happens if I ate the kezayis erev Pesach? So the halacha is loy pasal atzmi mibnei chabura. It doesn't disqualify me from joining another chabura because eating the Korban Pesach erev Pesach is not significant in Hilchas Korban Pesach. Kezayis limeshech hashech. If however you ate the kezayis of the Korban Pesach roasted once it was already Pesach, at that point, you're not allowed to join another chabur. Tanya, there's another price. I would think if somebody eats a kezayis of the Korban Pesach, Erev Pesach, half cooked, which is a bad thing, you would be chayiv v'dinu, and the truth is, I can learn from a kal v'chomer. Where there's a mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach roasted, there's an isra to eat it half cooked. At a time when I can't even eat it roasted, didn't she? No, I certainly shouldn't be able to eat it half cooked. So it's an interesting kal v'chaim, right? Madach, when I can eat the Korban Pesach the right way, I can't eat it the wrong way. Certainly, when I can't even eat it the right way, I zikah can't eat it the wrong way. Erev Pesach is even more removed. He anoisenes, right? But Erev Pesach is even more removed from being able to eat the Korban Pesach. I lie, or maybe not. Maybe b'shosh she'ena b'kum achol tzli yesh nebebal toichal na. Maybe the whole iser is dafka erev. Meaning, maybe at the time that there's no mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach, meaning Erev Pesach, that's when you have the iser of don't eating it half cooked. But b'shosh she'esh b'kum achol tzli, then maybe at night at the leila seder when there's a mitzvah to eat it roasted, ain't nebebal toichal na. Maybe there's no iser at all. You're going to tell me, how does that make sense? That on Erev Pesach, there would be an issa to eat it half-cooked, but then Balela said that there wouldn't be an issa. What do you mean? Same thing happens with eating it the right way. You're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, Erev Pesach roasted, but at night, yeah. So maybe half-cooked as well. There's a lav to eat it half-cooked only Erev Pesach, but maybe Balela said they're not. So the Gemara is entertaining two tzadim in this brisa. Number one, maybe the issa to eat the Korban Pesach half-cooked is at night and Erev Pesach. Maybe the iser is only Erev Pesach. Talmud loy ma'al toich l'mimenu na uvashol nevoshol b'mayim ki'im tzliyesh. Ein talmud loy ki'im tzliyesh. The Torah in that pasuk didn't have to say ki'im tzliyesh. You know why? Because the Torah said it already in the previous pasuk. We mentioned that twice the Torah says he's supposed to eat the Korban Pesach roasted. Va'ochol asabasa b'lay lazet tzliyesh. And then it says, atoich l'mimenu na uvashol nevoshol b'mayim ki'im tzliyesh. So the Torah said it once, and then some tzveitim. Ma talmud loy ki'im tzliyesh. So why the Torah say it a second time? Let me go to teach me. B'shosh yesh nebekum achol tzli yesh nebeval toichal no. At the time that there's a mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach roasted, then there's an issa to eat it half cooked. B'shosh ain't nebekum achol tzli. But at the time that there's no mitzvah to eat it roasted, ain't nebeval toichal no. Then there's no issa. Bottom line: when is it also to eat the Korban Pesach no? Which means half cooked or half roasted. When is that issa? That issa is at Dafka at night, at the time that there's a mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach the right way, then there's an issa to eat the Korban Pesach the wrong way. Rabbi Yoimer, another halacha. Ekra ani bosh. The Torah says you're not supposed to eat the Korban Pesach, no. Uvashel mevushel b'mayim. Says the Rabbi. Once, it could have just said boshel, matal meloima mevushel. So why the Torah say mevushel sheyoch? Because I would have thought, ain't le'elosh b'shel m'shecha sheycho. I would have thought the issa is only if you cooked it at night. B'shel m'baydei minayim. How do you know that it's also to eat the Korban Pesach at night, cooked, when I cooked it mebardoy? So now we're not focusing on when I ate it, but now we're focusing on when I cooked it. Talmud loy ma'boshel mevoshel mikol makoyim. That comes to teach me, it doesn't matter when you cooked it. If you cooked it on night, when it was Pesach already, or you cooked it erev Pesach, either way you have the iser. Freit the Gemara, how could you use boshel mevoshel for that? Ma'ay boshel mevoshel afke Rebbe litzli kador u'lishar mashkin. Rebbe himself, this is the same Rebbe who just darshin boshel mevoshel to teach me, even if you cooked it erev Pesach, in the beginning of the daf, used boshel mevoshel, the extra, to tell me that it doesn't matter if you cooked it with water or if you cooked it in another way. So the Gemara says, Rebbe held there were two drushes in this pasuk. Because im kein le makra, oy bashal bashal, oy mevushal mevushal. My bashal mevushal, shnamim minot parati. There were two drushes. Number one, the double lashon, bashal mevushal, could have just said bashal or mevushal. And number two, even if you want to say a double lashon, we could have been consistent. We could have just repeated the same word twice. Bashal, bashal, mevushal, mevushal. What does bashal, mevushal mean? Atzveta drasha. So an Amir Aleph, Rebbe, as a Yehuda Nasi Darshan, from bashal, mevushal, that even though it says in the Torah, bashal, mevushal, b'mayim, b'mayim is lav dafka, even if you cooked it in some other way, still you're over the Isser. And an Amir Beis, the same Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, Darshan, the second drasha from a bashal, mevushal. What was the drasha? The drasha was, it doesn't matter if you cooked it at night or if you cooked it during the day. Again, you're going to have the same halacha. How do you have two drushes? One drush is based on the double lashon. The second is from the fact that there's a shinui halashon. So it's the double lashon, and then it's the change of lashon that teaches me the second halacha. One final halacha. Tanu Rabbanon. Achal tzli miba'oydoy. What if somebody ate the Karban Pesach tzli? Roasted. That's the way you're supposed to eat the Karban Pesach. But he ate the Karban Pesach Erev Pesach. He didn't eat it on Pesach. Chayiv. The halach is he's going to be chayiv. Ukezayis no. If somebody would eat the carbon Pesach, no. A kezayis of it, Meshech HaShecho, once it's Pesach, chayiv. You're going to be chayiv. Zok to Gemara. Let's be medayik the Braisa. The Braisa said two halachas. The Braisa is talking about someone that ate the carbon Pesach the right way on Erev Pesach. And the Braisa is talking about someone that ate the carbon Pesach the wrong way on Pesach. Both of them chayiv. Ochal tzli, that's the right way. Meboid yoyim, Erev Pesach, wrong time. Chayiv. Kizayis na is the wrong way. Meshech HaShecha, the right time. Chayiv. Right, so in both cases of the Braisa, you got something right, you got something wrong. In the first case of the Braisa, you prepared it the right way. You just ate it at the wrong time. In the second case, you ate it at the right time. You ate it Meshech HaShecha after Rabbeinu Tam. It's perfect. The problem is, you prepared it the wrong way. Both halachas say the Braisa is going to be chayiv. Sok to Gemara, a subtle dick. Tani tzli dum yudena. The Braisa said two halachas and used the same word chayiv and put it together literally in one halacha. So what does it sound like? It sounds like whatever chayiv means for one, it means for the other. If that's the case, man no belav. If somebody eats the Karban Pesach, no. What's the halacha? Lav. What's the punishment? Malkus. Aft tzli belav. So it sounds like if somebody would eat the Karban Pesach roasted, Erev Pesach, same halacha, he would get Malkus. Fake the Gemara, Bishleiman, no. I understand if somebody eats the Karban Pesach, no, you get Malkus, Ksiv, it's a passing in the Torah. Al toichlu mimenu, no. Elitzli minolon. How do you know that if somebody eats the Karban Pesach, roasted, Erev Pesach, you get Malkus? Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that there's a lav. The only thing it says the Gemara, is Tichsiv, Achlu as Abbas of Alay Laz. It says you should eat the Karban Pesach when? Balaylo. Balaylo in Bayoim Loi. That you're not allowed to eat it during the day. But the Gemara says, I hear, that's an Isser. But is that a Chayiv? Is that a Malkus? Hay lava ba michlal asehu. That's an Isser that's implied from something the Torah said to do. Right? The Torah will present an Isser in two different ways. Sometimes the Torah will say, thou shalt not do something. Do not do this. Be careful. Yishom melucha. Ushmar nafsha chamoy. Right? And sometimes the Torah says, do something. And implied from what the Torah told me to do, I know what I'm not allowed to do. What's the difference? The whole world is the difference. When the Torah says, don't do something, in fleshe geverta, that's a loisase. When the Torah says, do something, and I just imply from what the Torah told me to do, that is obviously something I'm not allowed to do, so that's what's known as a lav, an iser, habob michlal aseh. You don't get malchus. Cholav habob michlal aseh, aseh. It's treated like an aseh. It could be if it's zman gerama, for example, nashim would be potter, right? There's so much raid related to lav habob michlal aseh. Kasha is, so a bishlame if somebody eats the Karban Pesach, no, you get Malkus. No. But if somebody ate the Karban Pesach roasted Erev Pesach, you get Malkus. Where does it say in the Torah you're going to get Malkus? All it says is, v'achlu es habasa b'lay lazeh. So I know there's an asay to eat it b'lay lazeh, and I know you're not allowed to eat it not b'lay lazeh. Okay, but how Malkus? And by the way, this should not be confused with the machloikas abaya v'rova where the Gemara talked about ki imtsliyesh in the context of a lav shabacholos. That was a different lav, right? Here the Torah was talking about eating the Karban Pesach balayla hazeh, not roasted. It says, al toichlu mimenu ki imtsliyesh. Is that a loisase for which you get malchus telling me that if I don't eat it tsliyesh, I would get malchus or not? This is something else. Here I ate it roasted. It was tsliyesh. I just ate it during the day. There's no lav shabacholos. All there is an asay. For achlu asabasa balay laze. An asay from which I can imply a lot. So it's a lava ba michal asay. Where do you see that you got malchus for this? I'm Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said a very surprising teretz. Hamani Rabbi Yehudi. Yeah, there is a tan in Shas. That holds sometimes you can get malchus for a lava ba michal asay. Who is the tan? It's Rabbi Yehudi. The tan we're going to the Brisa. So completely unrelated halacha. It says regarding an animal that has a mum. You can't bring it as a carbon. Vesharva seh, if you have an ox, or you have a sheep, that's sorua v'kal. Different types of mumen. Nedava tasa oisoi ulaneda lo yiratza. Says in the Torah, you're not allowed to bring it as a carbon. Says the Gemara. We learn from here. Tasa oisoi a halachin kachin. Oisoi atam matvis lebeda gabayas. What you should do with such an animal is you should, if you want to donate it, which is nice, we accept the donation. What you should do with it is you should donate it lebeda gabayas. Meaning, Hektish will take it, they'll sell it, they'll use the resources to, you know, for maintenance and for different things that they need. But v'yatam matfis t'mir lebeda gabayis. We learn from there an unbelievable chiddush. Such an animal that has no function as a carbon, if you want to donate lebeda gabayis, gevaldik. But if you have an animal that could be brought as a carbon, you want to donate lebeda gabayis, that's not something you could do. Mikan number from here, we learn halacha. Kala matfis t'mir lebeda gabayis, oivre basay. If someone's matfis t'mir lebeda gabayis, the halacha is, you're going to be oivre basay. That's an important halacha that underpins kachim. This is where it comes from. Okay, we don't need to focus so much on the asay and the lois asay. It's the concept more. So I would know from here only an asay. How do you know lois asay? Talmud loymar. It says vayedaber Hashem el Moshe leymar. Limeid al kol apar shekula sheyehei belois asay divrei Rabbi Yehuda. From the fact that it says in the Torah vayedaber Hashem el Moshe leymar, that teaches me that everything in the parsha is going to be a lois. I say, you know who said that? Rabbi Yehuda said that. Now, before we explain this, Amalei Rabbi Levar Kapar. So Rabbi told Bar Kapar, my mashma, what do you see in Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemar? That's the most innocent pasuk in the Torah. What do you see from here, a lois? I say, Amalei, he told him, Dechsiv Lemar, loy nemar bedvarim. These dvarim that I'm telling you, loy nemar, there's a loy. Lemar, nutriken. Loi nemar. They rab amin. The shiva rab. They learned a little differently. Lemar lava emar. So where it says vayidaber shem amoshel lemar, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's a lav. Now does that mean every vayidaber shem amoshel lemar is a lav? So the first place was on the yom. And nearer the read the haynu dafka behanach dvarim de ispu lava ba michlal ase. This is only true if they have a parsha that's prefaced by Dabbas Shalom Moshe Lemar. And in the parsha there's an Isser, but the Torah didn't mention the Isser Beloshon Lav. It's only a Lav Abba Michal Asay. So Lemar plugs the hole, and that serves as the Lav. Every single time it says in the Torah, Vayidaber Shalom Moshe Lemar, you can't start trying to find Lav. But what do you see from Rabbi Yehuda Shita? Vayidaber Shalom Moshe Lemar is a Lav. Oh, if that's the case, that's the Tano. Because in the parsha of the Karban Pesach, the Pasuk prefaces this whole parsha with HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to Moshe and Aharon, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'al Aharon be'eretz Mitzrayim lemar, HaChidosh azel lechem reish chadashim. And then seven psukim later, V'ochel es habasa b'alai la'azeh, Tzliyesh. Oh, it started off this parsha, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is an unbelievable chiddush, tucked away, M'sachim and Be'ezim and Aleph. Any lav above Michal Asay in this parsha now is going to be a lois asay. So if any lav above Michal Asay is going to be a lois asay, so if that's the case, you have the makar, why, if somebody would eat the carbon Pesach tzli, he ate it prepared in the right way. You just ate it at the wrong time, why it is he would get Malchus. Malchus, isn't it only a lav above Michal Asay? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'al Aharon be'eretz Mitzrayim lemar. Lemar means a lois asay, and if it's a lois asay, we know that halacha is, you're going to get Malchus exile. So the truth is, the topic of today's daf is the Karban Pesach. And clearly, there's a lot to talk about as it relates to the Karban Pesach. In fact, there's 40 dafin in Masechtas Pesachim that talk about the Karban Pesach. But being that the topic of the daf is very much going to be the Karban Pesach, starting Perek Tam and Nishchat, which is right around the corner on Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, so I thought that rather than talk a little bit about the Karban Pesach now, again, it's going to be literally 40 dafin. It's from Tam and Nishchat all the way to Arvei Pesachim. It's all about the Karban Pesach. I mean, super geschmack, so yes. But we're going to learn so much about the Karban Pesach, so I thought maybe to go back and finish some unfinished business from earlier in the week, and that is talk a little bit more about Maror. So the topic of the daf on Matzus Umeroyim Yechlo. So the topic of the daf Lamites was the halachos of Maror, and really a very basic sugya that discussed what can you and what can you not use for Maror. The Mishnah said the Elu Yurakos. The following are examples of vegetables that you can use to be mekayim your mitzvah of mor. Bichazeres, that's lettuce. Be'tamcha, we'll see what that means. U'becharchavina, u'beolshin, endives, u'bemarer, and some plant that was known as mar. The Gemara then brought a bunch of brisos that added and subtracted from this list. At the very end, the Gemara said, Ravina ashkeche l'rav acha breda rava da have a mahadar amirirta. Ravina met Rav Acha breda rava, and he saw that he was looking for this plant called Mara, because that's what he wanted to use to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Mara. Amalesi told him, why are you looking for the Merirta? Oh, the Merir and Tvei, because it's very, very bitter. Chazeres Tnan. What does that mean? Says Rashi. The Mishnah mentioned a list of Yerokos, a list of vegetables that you're allowed to use for Mara, and the first mentioned on the list was Chazeres. So if Chazeres is mentioned first, it means it's the most Chashuv, and based on that, what you should be using is Chazeres. V'tanet ve'shmul Chazeres. Shmul said the same thing. He said you're supposed to use the Chazeres. V'amar Rabbi Shaya, and Rabbi Shaya said the same thing, mitzvah b'Chazeres. So it sounds like from the Gemara, that even though there was a whole list of things that one is allowed to use for Mar, but the Gemara said, it doesn't seem like anybody argues, that the mitzvah, the lekatchila, is the chazeres. And in fact, it's the first mention in the Mishnah, and we have a rule that unless proven otherwise, anytime Chazal mentioned the list of things, the first thing in the list is always considered to have a precedent, it's always considered to be the most chashuv. And the truth is that this is exactly what's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. In Hilchos Pesach, in Aruch Chaim Siman Tov Ayin Gimel, Sifkot Hei, the Mechaber says, Eilu Yurakei Sheyoytze Mehem Yedei Chayvasa, Chazeres, Ulshin, Tamcha, Charchavina, Emar. The Mechaber brings our Mishnah. V'yoytzen ba'alun shalem, you can use the leaves. U'bekalchen, you can use the stalks, etc., etc. Then says the Mechaber, however, v'ikur ha-mitzvah b'chazeres. But you want to know what the ikur mitzvah is? The most ideal way to be mekayim the mitzvah of Mara is to use chazeres. It's to use lettuce. V'im in lo chazeres, let's say you don't have chazeres, then you chazer achar rishon rishon, kafi asei de shem shon. Then go back to the Mishnah, see whatever comes up next in the Mishnah, and whatever's next in the Mishnah, that's what you should do. But what are you supposed to use like atchila? What's the ikra mitzvah? The ikra mitzvah is to use chazeres. The ikra mitzvah is to use lettuce. The Chayk Yaakov brings from the Beis Yosef, that's it, that when the Shulchan Aruch says that the ikra is to use Chazeres, afilu liknois bedam in yikar. It means even if you live in a place where it's hard to find, it's a yikara metzia, which means based on supply and demand, you're going to end up spending a lot of money on it, it doesn't matter. Even if it's going to cost you extra money, afilu liknois bedam in yikar, the lekatchilu way to be mekayim the mitzvah of maror is by eating chazeres. The truth is that as it relates to the minig in Klal Yisrael, there are many, many, many Yidden that follow the Shulchan Aruch and do exactly what the Mechaber says. The Ikra Mitzvah B'Chazeres. And it's based on our Gemara, doesn't seem to be disputed, that the right way, the most lekatchila way to be Mekayim, the Mitzvah, is with lettuce, the most lekatchila way to be Mekayim, the Mitzvah, is B'Chazeres. But there's another very, very large group in Klal Yisrael that's not Mekayim, the Mitzvah of Mara by eating lettuce. Rather, they're Mekayim, the Mitzvah of Mara by eating horseradish, by eating chrein. And the question is, what's the source to that minig to eat chrein? Number one, where does it say chrein in the Mishnah? And number two, we see clearly that the ikra mitzvah is chazeres. The Gemara says it, the Shulchan Aruch says it. So how exactly could you go against it? And what would be the source to such a minig? But I think before we discuss chrein and the pros and cons of using lettuce versus chrein, I think there's another question that everybody at some point had to have thought of. And that is, we eat maror by the Leil HaSeder. Why do we eat maror? Rabbi Gamliel said, Kol shalei yama shleish advar malalu yoyotze dechavasa bepesach. The Elohim, Pesach matzah umar. Pesach, zushanu aichal al shema. Matzah al shema. Maror al shema. Why do you eat maror? Because vayimaru as chayim. Because when the Yidden were Mitzrayim, it was a bitter, bitter galus. And the Yidden were in concentration camps. And they were forced to do horrible, horrible things. It was a very, very bitter experience. And to commemorate and to remember what do we eat? We eat maror. So we take bitter green saigen. That's what we do. And that's what we eat. So I ask you a question. Is lettuce bitter? You sit down, you eat lettuce, it's bitter? What's bitter about lettuce? Right, it's the most, I mean, that I think should be the first kashan, the manushtana. Right, hey, you talk about the bitter green saigen, and then what do you eat? You eat lettuce. Chrein is bitter. But what's bitter about lettuce? The truth is, you know who asks this kasha? The Yerushalmi asks this kasha. The Yerushalmi, right here in Perakol Shah, on this Mishnah, the Elu Yerakash Adam Yoitzvem Yedei Chavasa, the Pesach, Bechazeres, Frank the Yerushalmi, Chazeres? It's not bitter. It's supposed to be marr. It's not bitter. Says the Yerushalmi, it's true that chazeres is tchilasei masik. It starts off sweet. However, saifai, at some point it's going to become bitter. And because at some point it's going to become bitter, it's for that reason it makes the cut and it qualifies as being marr. But the truth is, there's a major, major shaila in the achroinim. How to understand the Yerushalmi. What exactly did the Yerushalmi mean? So first of all, what's the metzias? The metzias is that lettuce, when it stays in the ground for an extended period of time, at some point, the root or the stalks, there's a part of it that can become very, very bitter. And it's pashut, that's what the Yerushalmi is referring to. When he says that it's seifai, to become marr, to become bitter, what he means is that if it stays in the ground for an extended period of time, there is a point when it's going to be bitter. But the question is, does the Yerushalmi mean to say that when the Mishnah said, keep the lettuce in the ground until it becomes bitter, it's the bitter chazeres that Chazal said you could be yotze the mitzvah with. You're right, the chazeres that you're going to put in your Caesar salad, that's not something you could be yotze with, because that's not bitter. But the chazeres that Chazal were referring to was the chazeres that is bitter. And that's exactly what the Yerushalmi means. Frank, the Yerushalmi, it's masik. No, yeah, it starts off masik, but then it becomes bitter. That qualifies it as one of the bitter greens I get, and once it qualifies, it makes the cut. So wait until it becomes bitter, because at the end of the day, that's what marr is. It's supposed to be bitter. It's supposed to remember, vayimaru es chayim. It's not supposed to feel like you're eating greens. And if that's the case, so that's certainly what it means. Oh, yeah, shleimah, no. Maybe that's not what the Yerushalmi means. Maybe what the Yerushalmi is saying is that being that this min of chazeres at some point will become bitter, at some point that's what's going to happen. So even though right now it's not bitter, it qualifies as being one of the minim of marr, and you could be yotze with lettuce even while it's not bitter. The truth is that if you look in the Beis Yosef, on this halacha, in Simen Tav Ayin Gimel, the Beis Yosef seems to pick one of these tzadim pretty clearly. He brings the Rambam Shita. The Rambam left out the halacha of mitzvah b'chazeres, even though Shulchan Aruch says it, Beis Yosef brings it, and it's based on this Gemara, but the Rambam brings it. And he brings that there's a Lama Hishmitaya Rambam. He said, doesn't understand why the Rambam let it. He left it out. Listen to what he says. Ulai shehum mefarish. Maybe the Rambam had a different shan in the Gemara. Rabbi Shaya said mitzvah b'chazeres. Had we explained Rabbi Shaya? Pashut, way Rashi explains it. Likatchila, the right way to be mekayim the mitzvah, the mufcher way to be mekayim the mitzvah, is by using chazeres. But said the Beis Yosef, it could be the Rambam had a different shot. You know how the Rambam understood mitzvah b'chazeres? Not mitzvah b'chazeres, likatchila chazeres, but mitzvah nami b'chazeres. It's okay to use chazeres. Wait a minute, why would you think it's not okay to use chazeres? Says the Beis Yosef, because afal pishihi mesuka, because even though lettuce is sweet, the emba meriros, that's really not bitter. So I would have thought you can't be yotzed a mitzvah. That was Rabbi Shaya's chiddush, then no, you could be yotzed. But what does it sound like? What does it sound like from the Beis Yosef? That the Beis Yosef was saying that chazeres is something you could be yotzed a mitzvah with, even when it's mesuka. So what does the Yerushalmi mean when it says it's soifai to become marr? It means eventually it's going to become marr. But right now, in the Beis Yosef, it's pretty clear, and I saw Rabbi Avadya Yosef in his Chazon Avadya says, it's poshut, that's what the Beis Yosef means. He's saying, Shem in the Rambam, that the Rambam held mitzvah the chazeres as a chiddush, because you would have thought you can't be yotze. You know why? Because of what's been bothering us subconsciously. What's so bitter about lettuce? And how in the world is this actually marked? The truth is that it's meduyik this way in the Beis Yosef, but it's mefurish in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Shulchan Aruch HaRav is also right here in Hilchos Pesach, it's in Metafai and Gimel, and it's if cotton lamed, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, starting from the middle. Umitnei kachi nekras mar. Umitzvah lachzer acharel. The mitzvah is to find the chazeres. Af kishihi mesuka. Even though it's sweet, l'fisha mitzvahs morer, hizeich l'mashem morer, mitzvah mezchaya v'seinu b'avoydus perach, v'hein nishtabdu him, like the Gemara said, b'tchila b'perach, al-yidei piyusim. First it started off, everything was very subtle, and then eventually it started intensifying, l'chein yesh lecha l'chazeresh, etchilasa mesuka, v'raka, v'soifa kasha umar. Either way, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav very, very clearly, that the mitzvah is l'chazer acharel, the mitzvah is to take the chazeres, af kishehi mesuka. Very clear. Even while it's sweet. So the Beis Yosef is very mashma that way. The way Rabbi Avadya Yosef was medayik in the Beis Yosef. And in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, it's mefurish that once Chazal said chazeres is marr, it's marr, and you can eat the chazeres even if it's sweet. What did the Yerushalmi mean that it's going to become bitter? That's what qualifies it as being mar. If it had no shaykhis to ever becoming bitter, then you wouldn't be able to use it as mar. But being that it will become mar, that's enough for you to be able to use it, even though right now, at the time that I want to eat it, it's not bitter. Afal pekin, it's not going to be, afal pekin, it's still something you're going to be able to be yaitzer with. But there are a lot of achroinim that had a problem with this. And Beroshim, as far as contemporary achroinim are, was the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish wrote a lot about using lettuce as mar, and he said you can't use lettuce as mar. It says even though Chazal said chazeres, so that would mean if you had chazeres that was bitter, like Chazal had, and if you would harvest it that way, that's fine. Then you'd be able to use it. But to take lettuce, something that you would put in your salad, and eat it as mar, it's not mar. At the end of the day, it has to be bitter. And if that's what you're going to take, it's not going to be bitter. So the Chazon Ish said, what should you use? Chazon Ish said you should use chrei. We'll get to that in a second. But he said, as it relates to lettuce, that's not something you should do. And I saw in the Haggadah for Reb Chaim Kanievsky, it's called Siach HaPesach. So in the back of the Haggadah, they have some shtiklach. So they bring over here as it relates to maror. So he brings that the Reb Chaim tells people not to use lettuce as maror. And he said it over in the name of the Chazon Ish. And he brings the what the Chazon Ish said. And he writes at the end, V'divrei maron haChazon Ish zatzal berurim. Says he doesn't see how you can argue with it. Because at the end of the day, it's Pasha Razai. Asura Bavad Yosef brings the Chazon Ish. And he says, it's very nice, the Chazon Ish said that, but it's Loika Bais Yosef. And it's not like the Shulchan Aruch Haraf. So the bottom line is, it seems that in the Achroinim, there were two ways to view lettuce. That's not bitter. If the lettuce is bitter, of course you could be yoitzer with the lettuce. Then there's nothing to talk about. That's mitzvah bechazeres. But we're talking about whether the lettuce is not bitter. So the question is, could you be yoitzer? Could you not be yoitzer? The Yerushalmi already asked the kasha, it's not bitter. But the Yerushalmi gave a little bit of an ambiguous answer. The Yerushalmi said at some point it's going to be bitter. So did the Yerushalmi mean wait until it becomes bitter? Or did the Yerushalmi say that even though it didn't become bitter yet, that in of itself would be enough? In the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, it would seem that being that it can be bitter, even though right now it's sweet, you could still be yoitzer in a mitzvah. The Chazon Ish seemed to be the one that led the charge, and a more contemporary. I'm not familiar with anyone much earlier than that discussed this. But the Chazon Ish, more recently, said very, very strongly, it doesn't mean you can be yoitzer that way because it's not mar. And Maron, Hagoyin Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, tells people that ask him, how should you be yoitzer the mitzvah mar? And he tells him, don't be yoitzer the mitzvah mar with lettuce that's not bitter. Because if it's not bitter, it's not mar. And at the end of the day, it's true, mitzvah bechazeres, but it has to be bitter. If it's not bitter, ein mikri yoitzer de pshutai, there's no way you could be yoitzer. Okay, so if the Chazon Ish didn't want you to take lettuce, so what should you take? So we mentioned chrei. So the question is, where does chrein come from? I mean, why chrein? And really, just to add to the question, and that is, the Magen Avraham brings that at the end of the day, being that Chazal gave us examples of what maror is, you should only use something that Chazal said can work. So similar, for example, when it comes to kosher oifos, right? Kosher birds, we only eat birds that have a mesira. So the Magen Avraham says you're only supposed to use mara that has a mesira. If it doesn't have a mesira, you shouldn't use it as mara. Oifos and kashrus is obviously more chamer than mara, which is only a derabbanan. But at the same time, right, the whole turkey controversy, it's something that has a mesira. So you're supposed to use something that has a mesira, which means that chrein has to be one of the five minim. One of the things that are mentioned in the Mishnah. So which one of the things mentioned in the Mishnah is chrein? So if you look at the Tosfos Yontif, on our Mishnah, the Mishnah says, Ve'elu yirakish adam yoytze v'myidei chavase b'pesach, b'chazeres u'be'ulshin u'be'tamcha. Says the Tosfos Yontif, you know what tamcha is? Va'anu regilim l'poistroi. The way we teach tamcha is hu mashakorin b'loshin ashkenaz, what you call in German, chrein. Or chrein. So he says, tamcha, which is mentioned in the Mishnah, is chrein. And the Magen Avraham brings it as well in Siman Tofai and Gimel. He says, the Mechaber says, one of the things you're allowed to use is tamcha. Zok to Magen Avraham, what exactly is tamcha? Chrein. Ubaloshen Ashkenaz, Meirtich. But the point is, it's chrein, that's what it is. So you want to know what the Makar to use in chrein? It's also in the Mishnah. It's in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said chrein. It just didn't say it first. And being that it didn't say it first, so that's why the thought is that l'katchilo, what you should be using, is really you should be using lettuce. But if somebody wanted to use chrein, he could be yoitza. How do you know you could be yoitza? Because it's a Mishnah. Because Tais Yontif and the Magen Avraham both said, our Rebbes in Psak said that when the Mishnah said that you can use tamcha, what it was referring to was chrein. It's interesting that over the years, there was a lot of controversy amongst the Gedolei Achroinim, in terms of what to use for mar. Just to mention a few. The Chacham Tzvi, in a classic tshuva, slash diatribe, and this is in Shailos HaTshuvos Chacham Tzvi, it's in Simen Kuf Yud Tes. So he was discussing about what a person should use for Mar. So it's a short tshuva, and it's really broken up into two parts. It's literally, it's very, very short. But the first part of the short tshuva, he says, mitzvah b'chazeres, and the right way to be yoitza, the mitzvah is with lettuce. It's umashuk. He said, what is chazeres? Hu ayerek hanikru b'loshen ashkelas salat. U'b'loshen sfard salata. Same difference. Then he brings what it's called in Portuguese and what it's called in French. He goes all the different languages. Just so everybody knew exactly. Listen, I don't know the halacha, being practical. Sometimes it's lamdis and sometimes it's tachlis. In terms of halacha, lamaisa, like what am I supposed to do? I don't know what I'm supposed to take. So the Chacham Tzvi literally went and he goes through different items and explains what it is. And then he says that, I just want you to know that I found recently there are people that have this new minig, and what they use for mutter is chrein. Shehu tamcha lefi das mixas chacham, which some chachamim, Taisus Yontif, said is tamcha, but he says v'nafik minei churba. He says I think it's a very, very terrible thing. He says the reason is because the chrein that they use for marah is so spicy, it's so sharp, it's so hard to eat that they can't even eat a half a kezias. So they end up not eating the kezias. And he says the ones that could eat kezias, they end up hurting themselves. They're mazik themselves ba'achilosai. And mamanav shach them mevatel mitzvahs marah. And he says I'm not even sure if you could be yoitz in a mitzvah eating such chrein. You know why? Because it's a hasnish gegessen. She ain't zu achila, ela sakana. So the Chacham Tzvi, already in the 17th century, was very disappointed about the fact that he saw there were people that were being yoitzu achrein. He said, because to me it's mamonav shach. If you eat the whole kezayis, I think you're gonna kill yourself. It's not a share. And if that's the case, it's not considered an achila. And if you're going to eat pachis mi kezayis, you're not going to be yoitzu the mitzvah. So he says that they decided today that this is what they eat is achrein. He said he has a major problem with it. There's a tshuva from Rabbi Lazar Fleckless. In his Shailos HaTshuvos, Tshuva Me'ahava, he says that in Prague, they had a hard time finding salat. They had a hard time finding lettuce. They were struggling with it. And because they couldn't find it, so he said that Noida B'Yehuda said that what the Olam should do is they should eat chrein. And he said it was a major tikkun, and he says that's why all the gedolim in Prague that used to eat chrein, and it was based on what the Noida B'Yehuda said. But why did the Noida B'Yehuda institute this? He instituted she'enoi matzui b'chaga aviv loy latuga salat v'loy indivi endives. He said we don't have these things. So v'yoichun chrein, and this was a good thing. He writes incidentally that he just received as a gift from Rabbi Yaakov Melissa, that's the Nesivas. He said he gave him a gift, and the gift was two svarim. He said he gave him his sefer on Yerideya called Chavis Das, and then he gave him his sefer called Maisa Nisim, which is in print. That's the Haggadah Shel Pesach of the Nesivos. And he said he went through the Maisa Nisim, and over there, the Nesivos had a big problem using chrein, and he dingsach with him. But it's right, he says that I just got a tremendous covet. I received a gift from the great guy, Rabbi Yaakov Melissa. This is Rabbi Lazar Flakler talking. But either way, the Noida B'Yehuda instituted it. There was nothing to do. The Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva, and this is in Eir Chaim, and it's Tshuva Kuf Lamid Beis. So he talks about what you could be Yoitza, the mitzvah Morrow with. So he brings the Chacham Tzvi, who said not to use chrein. So says the Chassam Sofer, yeah, of course the Chatchila, you shouldn't use chrein. The Chatchila, the right way to do it would be to use lettuce, mitzvah de Chazeres. There's no question that's the right thing to do. But he says, I know there are a lot of people that they're very negligent when it comes to checking lettuce. And being that they're not careful when it comes to checking lettuce, so based on that, it could be, you're going to be Mekayim, your mitzvah derabbanan of Achilas Marer, but it's going to come at the expense of being over Yisuri Deiraisa by eating lettuce that wasn't checked, and you're going to end up eating a bunch of things that really you're not supposed to eat. So says the Chassam Sofer that if you're a person that can check your lettuce, eat the lettuce. And if you're not a person that can check the lettuce, then what you should do is you should eat the chrein. And then he says at the end, he says, I know that the Gemara says is a remez in lettuce. Lettuce is referred to in Aramaic as chasa. And the Gemara says, what's the symbolism? What's the simana milsehi? The simana milsehi is chas rachmana alon. That even though it was vayimaru as chayeyim, but at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch had rachmanas on us. So said the Chassam Sofer, if you're worried that by eating chrein, you're going to lose out on the symbolism of chas rachmana alon, he says, don't worry about it. Anu noimar, what is chrein referred to in the Mishnah? As tamcha. You're never going to think of chrein the same way. So says the Chassam Sofer, what's tamcha? It's Rosh HaTevos, tamid mesaprim kevoid kel. That's what the Chassam Sofer said. Now, when you eat chrein, tamid misaprin kvayt kale. So he says you have a symbolism there as well. Don't worry about it. You're not losing out on the rachmana chassalon. When you eat chrein, it's tamid misaprin kvayt kale. But either way, so the makar to eat chrein is brought down. Chamsui brings it in a tshuva. The noy de b'yehuda, the Chassam Sofer. However, it's clear they all viewed it and they all treated it as being somewhat b'di'evet. Right? Chamsui quoted it in the tshuva in the 17th century, but he didn't like it. The noy de b'yehuda spoke about it in the 18th century, but because they couldn't find the other things. They didn't have endives and they didn't have letters. So he said, well, you're going to use the next best option, which is tamchel. The Chassam Sofer said it's for someone that doesn't know how to check lettuce. So if you're not going to check the lettuce, you can end up eating worms or whatever, little bugs. So then, of course, the best thing to do is to eat the chrein. But at the same time, you want to know what's the katchila. Everybody seemed to say, the Chacham Tzvi in the 17th century, in the Rebbe in the 18th century, the Chassam Sofer in the 19th century, they all said mitzvah b'chazeres. Why? Because that's what Shulchan Aruch says. It's not a chiddush. Shulchan Aruch says mitzvah. So it's mitzvah chazeres, that's what you're supposed to eat. So what's the chazanish, and where's the Reb Chaim Kanievsky, where's this all coming from? Because the question is, at the end of the day, this is where it became a little unclear and unresayer. What was the lettuce that was being eaten? Was the lettuce that was being eaten sweet lettuce? Or was it bitter lettuce? If it's sweet, if it's bitter lettuce, then of course the Chazanish is not arguing about it's going to be mitzvah chazeres. The question is, what if it's sweet lettuce? And it boils down on how to learn a Yerushalmi. But the bottom line is, what's the makar to eat lettuce? As Mar, the Mishnah. Mishnah says, V'elu Yurakos, and the first Yerek mentioned the Mishnah is the Yerek of the Chazeres. What's the Makar to eat Chrein? The Mishnah mentions Tamcha. I mean that the Mishnah mentions Tamcha. Tamcha, of course, is something that you're allowed to. Tamcha, the Taisyantav says, is Chrein. So both lettuce and Chrein are mentioned in the Mishnah. And it's for that reason both Minhagim are definitely Oiskahalt and Minhagim, there's no question. The question is, and what's interesting is that it doesn't seem to have been really talked about too much until more recently, is what happens if your lettuce is sweet? It's not bitter. Yushami Estakasha, isn't lettuce sweet? Yeah, but eventually it's going to be bitter. What does that mean? Does that mean you have to wait until it eventually becomes bitter? Or just because eventually it will be bitter, that means you can eat it now? The Beis Yosef, the way Rabbi Avad Yosef was medayik in the Beis Yosef, seems to say, even though it's sweet now, it's fine. Shulchan Aruch HaRav says clearly, I would assume that's the Minhag Chabad, because it's very clear in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav that's what you're supposed to do. The Chazon Ish seems felt not that way. He felt that at the end of the day, marr has to be bitter. And if it's not bitter, it's a hasnish marr. And that's what Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky tells people. The question is, at the end of the day, from a machshava standpoint, what's the machshava that you sit down to eat marr, and the marr is really supposed to be bitter, al shem vayimaru es chayeyem, and you take a bite into lettuce, which is not really bitter. I think it requires a little bit of machshava, and there's some thoughts, but Rav Hashem, we'll save that for tomorrow's daf.